Welcome to show number 129 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. Got a late week edition of the Sports Card Show this week. Got some really a lot of basketball to talk about, so if you're into baseball and football, you might, I'll maybe go to a break or at least warn you when we'll do a whole back half of the show will be all on basketball. And basketball has been in the news recently. You got Dwight Howard pulling the LeBron decision move. That's been taking a lot of the media attention. And you also have the NBA draft, and you also have like free agency and trades and stuff happening. Lots of stuff happening in the NBA. So we'll talk about that. But first, let's move into football. Naturally, we talk about the two sports that aren't even playing right now. But some interesting stuff. We had a couple new pre-orders for football this last week or two, so we'll talk about those. And murder was the case for a couple NFL players, most prominently Aaron Hernandez. Looks like he's going to go. I mean, we're putting him before a jury decides his fate. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody put OJ on the death on his deathbed or on death row, but I think it took like a Las Vegas robbery or something that caused him to go to jail. But anyways, murder was the case for Aaron Hernandez. This is why I try not to get too serious about one player, and because you can imagine there's Aaron Hernandez collectors out there. There are people that probably collected this guy and people that had lots of his rookie cards, and now, you know, it's going to be really tough sell. I'm sure there's people buying Aaron Hernandez, either people that are living under a rock, which is certainly possible, or people that just see this is the time to buy. Maybe he gets acquitted. Maybe something happens. Maybe there's a glove on the ground somewhere. The glove doesn't fit, so they must acquit. I don't know what's going to happen here, but certainly looks like Aaron Hernandez's career and his collectability pretty much all but a minuscule chance of ever coming back. So that's unfortunate. That's why I try to buy and sell as fast as I possibly can, because if you get stuck with Aaron Hernandez, not good. But hopefully we don't see too much other stuff like this happening in the NFL, because it kind of puts a damper on you know, not that there was a whole lot going on in the NFL anyways, but we should be focusing on what's going on and stuff like that, and, you know, the upcoming season, and not some guy killing somebody. So anyway, sad story. Moving right along. We're going to move right along into, there was a couple pre-orders that were announced this week, two kind of off-the-beat products, I'd call it, and one more mainstream product, 2013 Panini Prominence Football. Now, this is the set that has, like, almost like sets within a set. There's the rookie field plate signatures. There's the rookie gridiron gem signatures. There's the rookie like Letterman letter signatures. There's the helmet signatures in there, which are kind of interesting. And there's the embroidered team logo patch, which were like the old school like prestige patch kind of things. So like four or five different like groups of rookie cards. I kind of like this, because it's almost like there's five different rookie cards of the same player in the box. I don't know if everybody likes this, but from a Panini standpoint and selling, being able to sell product, especially last year when you had four or five different Robert Griffin III's or Andrew Lux or Trent Richardson's or whoever it was last year, seemed like there was a lot of good guys, made it much more exciting. You could get the helmet one. You could get the rookie plate one. If you didn't like one, you could get the other one. Gives you some choices. I'm glad they don't do it for every single one of their products, because I think it kind of waters it down. But Prominence, it kind of stands out. I think that if they can continue to develop this set, might be something people really look forward to. Another difference between this year and last year, I forget to go look at how last year was configured, but this is a three-pack box, and it looks like probably an autograph per pack, because there's five cards per pack, three packs per box. And there's three autographs in a box. You get two parallels, 10 commons, and rookies per box. So it's a 15-box case. You're looking at September 4th or around there, probably a little bit later than that, I'm sure, once it comes around. for Pinini Prominence Football. Now, two off the beat, I say off the beat, are just not really not football card products, certainly from manufacturers that most of us are familiar with, and certainly products that we're familiar with. I remember Autograph Mini Helmet for football products back when I used to work, before I even owned a card shop, I used to work at one for several years, and I remember, I think Topps might even had a product that was like a mini helmet product. Anyways, 2013, this is really interesting. They both come out right in the same month, but right around the same time, I think, as well. Right at the end of July, you have Leaf Autograph Mini Helmets Football and 2013 TriStar Hidden Treasures Autograph Mini Helmet Football. So I believe I've seen TriStar do this for many, many years. I want to say this is maybe Leaf's first or second foray. They typically stick with cards, and I think they even had an agreement with Just Miners that they would kind of do the memorabilia stuff and this guy would do the cards, but maybe that's doesn't happen in football. Or maybe even TriStar and Leaf, or this is like the same product. It's like almost like the Sunny Select brand or something in your store. It's like the same company just repackaged and cheaper. Doesn't happen all the time, but it's just weird that these both come out at the same time. Anyways, they're one pack, one box products with one little mini helmet in it, and they're both 8-box cases. In the TriStar, you're getting 6 Hall of Famers per case, so 6 of 8 boxes are Hall of Famers, and 2 are football fan favorites. It's $70 a box, and there's randomly inscribed collegiate and specialty helmets. Leaf doesn't quite break it out to tell you how many Hall of Famers and stuff per mini box, but I'm guessing it's somewhere in the vicinity of that. They have a list of players here with Robert Griffin and Brett Favre and Deion Sanders and Matthew Stafford, Joe Montana. So there's a mix. I see Michael Jordan on here. I guess Michael Jordan was signed mini helmets at some point. Walter Payton's on here, Tom Brady. So pretty much anybody. But considering it's $70, you're not going to hit a $200 mini helmet. I don't know how many $200 mini helmets there are. But it doesn't seem like you're going to hit one a lot of the time. But there are some nice players. Interesting that they both come out right around the same time. I don't know. Maybe they both did their market research and mini helmets sell in late July as we're getting close to football season. I don't know. But strange that they both come out around the same time, but great for you as a collector if you're into football mini helmets. It actually might flood the market just a little bit. You might have people opening these up and selling them. Might temporarily give a little elevation to people's autographed mini helmets online or people trying to sell. And you might be able to pick one up for a nice price. That's sometimes what happens. Sometimes it's the other way. Sometimes it brings people into the market and the price goes up. Who knows? We'll see what happens there. Well, we've spent a grand total of 8 minutes talking about other sports. Now we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about basketball and the NBA draft. There's been lots of trades. There's been lots of stuff that has happened in the NBA. So we'll talk about all of that right after this. Right on dropout. Back. Time to talk about some NBA. Yeah, I know they're not playing, but it's been really exciting the last couple weeks in NBA. We've had some moves, some teams changing quite a bit, teams rebuilding, teams stocking up for the next season. Found it very, very interesting. Been a very exciting NBA offseason. Certainly, if you're a collector of certain teams or certain players, they might have moved. Your team might have added some pieces. Might be looking like it's going to be 3 or 4 years until they're going to win. Lots of cool stuff. We'll first start with going back a few weeks. I think this is a very interesting trade. Going to have lots of implications for these teams in the future, but first, you had Garnett, Pierce, and Terry going to Brooklyn for Humphries, Marshawn Brooks, and a couple other players and draft picks. And they are all going to the Celtics. And the Celtics are in total rebuilding mode, but they made a lot of noise the other day hiring Brad Stevens, who is the coach for Butler. And I think he's only like 36 years old. Looks like he's about 26. And they traded. The thing is, they traded Doc Rivers to the Clippers. So the Clippers needed a coach so bad. I think they gave up like a draft pick, a good one, I think, or potentially a good one, to the Clippers. So to the Celtics for a coach. Remember that happened with John Gruden a while back, but just didn't see it happening in the NBA. Doc Rivers, although, is considered one of the better coaches, probably in the top five, certainly in the NBA. So I could see if the Clippers didn't want to give a chance to a young guy or a guy with not much experience or a guy that has failed elsewhere, hey, go with Doc. So very interesting. I mean, this Boston's in total rebuild mode, but they have some pieces there. And they have a new coach, so I'm sure they're going to be building around more or less their coach. There's been rumors that Rondo might leave, so that might be kind of interesting for Rondo collectors and Rondo fans out there. But the big part is Brooklyn is building by, like, a acquisition. Brooklyn's not going to try to build through the draft with how nice their arena is, having Jay-Z owning 0.25% of the team. Can attract maybe some free agents and maybe trades like this. So very interesting. Two teams going in different directions. You never know how it might work out for either team, but certainly Brooklyn trying to make a push, and certainly the Celtics kind of thinking, hey, maybe since they have all these draft picks now, they got a young coach. They're going to be able to draft, players that are going to fit in well with their system. There's been rumors they might trade Rondo and totally rebuild, but that doesn't really leave them with a whole lot. You've got Jordan Crawford, Marshawn Brooks. Oh, my God. That's just making me wince right there. I don't really know who else they have. They have, like, Avery Bradley and not a whole lot else in Boston. So not a whole lot to get excited about, certainly, if you're there. And it should be really interesting to see how Boston, what kind of team Boston could put on the court after they really traded away and let their coach go. I mean, they traded away a lot of stuff. So, and I don't believe they were in the top 10 of last week's NBA draft or the week prior NBA draft. So very, very, very interesting. Some other stuff that has happened in the NBA, Al Jefferson signs with Charlotte. Al Jefferson's a really solid player. That's exactly what Charlotte needed. They needed a guy that could consistently score at a decent percentage. They had a lot of guys that could score, but not consistently and not at a high percentage. And so Al Jefferson adds some of that in Charlotte, and I'll talk about the draft pick they ended up with in a little bit. But I think that's a good sign, even though they paid a decent amount of money for him. Al Jefferson is a pretty solid NBA player. This is one of the really, really surprising signs and kind of the movements that I saw, or a team definitely taking the lead this offseason in terms of signing some teams, is the New Orleans Pelicans. And I don't know him personally, but the GM of that team is named Dell Demps. He actually played in the NBA. He probably even has some basketball cards floating out there, possibly. I don't know. He might have played before everybody had a card in the NBA. But I want to say he played for the Spurs and a couple other teams in the NBA. My dad was actually his advisor when he was playing college ball here in my hometown. So my dad actually does know the GM of the New Orleans Pelicans. And I kind of like what I'm biased, maybe, but I kind of like what he's done here a little bit. Some of it might be a little bit confusing. I think they've stacked up their backcourt a little bit, but they might be making some other moves here. But the interesting thing that they did is Tyreek Evans signs from Sacramento. This is like a rookie of the year guy. This is a guy that everybody was thinking was going to get a max deal. Got a good money. I think he got like $44 million over 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's good money. But he's going to go play with Eric Gordon and Drew Holiday, who was acquired in a draft day trade. And I'll talk about that in a little bit and how I thought that was a really, at the time of the draft, was a really, really good trade. Now that you have Tyreek, Eric Gordon, and Drew Holiday, I mean, you can't really play all those guys all at the same time. You also have Anthony Davis there, who's kind of, he's a big guy and he can rebound and he can block, but you know, there's certain guys in the NBA he's certainly not going to be able to guard. And Ryan Anderson, another undersized center, is not. There's not that many big guys left. You know, even if you have a, we'll talk about Dwight Howard in a minute. He's a big guy, but he's like a fake big. You have Greg Monroe's pretty tough. Roy Hibbert, you know, most people saw him. I've had him on my fantasy team a couple years prior to this. But he's a really, really solid center and really tough to guard. And he takes advantage that there are a lot of teams with, you know, that they're playing an Anthony Davis type or a Ryan Anderson type at the center position. So this is a team got a lot of talent now and should be a very exciting team. I could imagine the people in New Orleans should be excited about this team. Or if you're a fan of any of these players, you know, their individual stats might take a hit. This is a team with a lot of shooters. Ryan Anderson, Tyreke Evans, Eric Gordon, all on the same team. Man, that's a lot of guys that can shoot and can put it up. So it might be spread out, you know, and even Anthony Davis. People that bought Anthony Davis cards this year thinking this is going to be a 20-point guy, a 25-point guy, a Tim Duncan maybe type guy. Well, with this talent around him, it's going to be tough for him to put up a lot of shots. So I temper you on Anthony Davis. Especially Anthony Davis. I think all these other guys probably have a little bit of upside. You know, Tyreke Evans was once Anthony Davis. He was like the hottest rookie in the NBA. I think he won Rookie of the Year. But, you know, Anthony Davis cards are going to go down, I think, in this next year. And, you know, that's a pretty bold statement, but that's typically what happens. You know, your rookie year, you're hot. Now everybody, I'll be talking about Anthony Bennett and a couple other the guys that got picked here in a minute. So there's other Anthonys and other people that are going to collectors only have so much money too, you know. And if Anthony Davis is not really shown a great improvement, typically in the scoring department, it's going to be tough for his cards to go up during most of next season, because I see that Eric Gordon, Tyreke, Jrue Holiday, Ryan Anderson, some of these other guys are going to score, and it might, if they play good basketball and they pass the ball around, this is a team that could be very good. If they just, if nobody ball hogs and they rotate the ball, this is a tough team to guard and could be a very good team. But individually, guys aren't going to average 20. You know, Eric Gordon's going to try to average 20, but if he doesn't, this could be a really, really good team. Later in the season, if they win and they go to the playoffs and maybe they start surprising teams, maybe they beat Miami or something like that, then yes, Anthony, he could average 15 points next year, which is actually, I think, a disappointment for a number one pick of his caliber. But if they're in the playoffs and they're winning, you know, they could go up at that point. So that's maybe my card angle there. The Dwight Howard decision, this is really affecting Dwight. Dwight's image has really been taken a heat as most athletes should have saw what happened to LeBron. This shows you how dumb Dwight Howard is. And most kids that come to the NBA out of high school, most people, you know, I'm a big fan of Kobe, and I've always rooted for Kobe, but yeah, Kobe's made some mistakes, and Kobe's said a lot of dumb things, and Kobe's done a lot of dumb things, some things that have got him in a lot of trouble that he magically got out of. You know, when you come out of high school like Kobe and like some of the – Garnett's even said some stupid stuff, especially when he's on the court. These guys, you know, not saying that if you don't go to high school or if you don't go to college, you're dumb. But your maturity level takes a little bit longer. You know, Kobe matured into his 30s, whereas some of these guys that we'll be talking about in a minute coming out of college might have, you know, even if you only spent, you know, a year or two at Indiana or Kentucky or some of these schools, you know, you are going to gain some kind of valuable lessons in life. Maybe not all of them, but at least a little bit. And not that all these high school guys are going to do stupid, you know, not that guys that go to college, I mean, look at Aaron Hernandez, he went to college. Not that he probably ever went to class or anything like that, but, you know, I'm just saying Dwight's dumb, really, for thinking that he could, like, you know, do this whole pick a team thing and people aren't going to come down on him even harder. So he hasn't won anything. He had a horrible year in Los Angeles. And has really had a bad couple years in Orlando. I think maybe, you know, he's been injured and stuff like that. So it's certainly affected his card value. So I could see you could really play two angles here. You could say, hey, I'm not touching Dwight and I won't touch Dwight. Or you could see this as your opportunity. You know, there's probably been other times to buy Dwight, but right now has got to be maybe not the best time because there might be Rocket fans or there might be people that are thinking the same thing, but he's down in the dumps. I mean, I was listening to a radio show the other day that was comparing to this guy to a stripper. You know, you don't want to marry a stripper. Can't bring a stripper home to mom. A stripper's kind of fake, kind of looks the part, but, you know, behind all that is not all there. And that kind of describes Dwight pretty well. You know, he's always going to disappoint you. He looks the part, has a great body, looks like he could average 30, but he doesn't. Doesn't give a good effort and is mentally not there. And that's really, you know, obviously physically he works out, unless that all comes naturally too, or he's on steroids or something. Looks great usually. Looks like he's fresh out of the gym every day, but obviously doesn't do anything else the rest of the day after that. Doesn't work on a post move. And when he's on the court, it's almost like something happens. He doesn't want to be great. He knows all the eyeballs are on him, and he kind of smiles that's his way to kind of deal with the pressure. I'm sure he's nervous. I'm sure he wants to do well, but he doesn't know how to deal with the pressure, so he kind of giggles and laughs, and that's his way to deal with it. So, you know, everybody's, including myself, is pounding on Dwight. This might be your time to buy, or maybe not, because I think wherever he ends up, I think the worst situation for him personally and probably his career going forward would be Los Angeles. I don't see it working out for him there very well there. Obviously, Kobe wants him to learn from him. And, you know, I think the best team situation probably would be Houston because they have a lot of good players. I think that team would fit his style. The Warriors don't want him. The fans don't want him, and they would hate it if he comes. But for some reason, the ownership thinks it'd be a good idea to trade away some young players and bring Dwight Howard in. I don't know why they would want to do that, but for some reason, they're thinking about doing that in Golden State. Moving right along into the NBA draft. Top 10 picks locked up by Panini. We'll talk about some of these guys. Cleveland had the number one pick. They drafted what most people thought was a shocker, but he looks like a more athletic version of Zach Randolph. He's 6'8". He can operate in the post. He can pick and pop. You know, he's not going to average 20 points on that, unless guys start getting hurt. Maybe he can, but to me, I like this pick. Love this pick over a Nerlens Noel. Maybe I'll regret saying this in a few years, but I like this pick over a Nerlens Noel because Nerlens Noel doesn't have many offensive games. Nerlens Noel has a blown out knee. He's not coming back till December, whatever, maybe. To me, that's a no. Yeah, I mean, how are you going to sell tickets when you draft a guy and everybody, you know, your fans want to be excited about a guy that's going to play. And Cleveland, you always need offensive help. You always get a 7-footer that's going to block a shot. You don't draft that guy number one, and I'm glad Cleveland didn't do that. So, moving right along into number, I think, you know, fitting card-wise too, I think Anthony Bennett is bad. Most people out there, maybe if you're only a casual basketball fan, might be like, oh no, Anthony Bennett, number one. I think in the long run, I think that's better that you have a guy that at least can pull it up some scoring points. Because trust me, guys that just block shots, you know, that gets old after a while. And your cards, you know, Serge Ibaka's cards can only be worth so much. You know, Serge Ibaka has really developed his offensive game. And I think he was like shooting threes this year, which is a tremendous for where he used to be in his offensive game. They can develop. But if you know, it's not easy in the NBA. If you weren't scoring in college, it's not like you're just going to take a summer to learn how to score 20 points in the NBA. It's not going to happen. So I like that they drafted a guy, not that he's going to come in and average 20, but I like that Anthony Bennett has some skill. Orlando has some very solid young players already. They drafted a guy I think that fits drafted Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo. He's a guard from Indiana. He's a very active player on the defensive end. To me, though, you know, I don't know when you're going to listen to this podcast, but, you know, to me, Victor Oladipo is going to remind me probably in several years of James Posey. And so if you want to draft James Posey number two, that's great. Maybe you can build around. I think James Posey did win an NBA championship, or at least came close in his career. But, you know, not a whole lot of offensive game. I guess he's developed it. But again, he developed it in college, but there's a big difference between, you know, looking good at times in college when, you know, when you got a small white kid guarding you compared to the NBA when you got LeBron on you or somebody of that caliber. So I don't know if I love the pick at number two, but they do get what it seems like a solid defender. Otto Porter Jr. was drafted third from Washington. And this guy, he's going to actually, I think that out of all the rookies, if you look for a guy that might break out, not necessarily break out, but look comfortable right from the beginning, it could be this guy because he's from Georgetown and it's like right there in Washington. So he doesn't have to move. He's going to be very comfortable in his surroundings and et cetera. And he's a solid scorer, and he can rebound. He has a flash and cut game and can mid-range game. So this is a guy, while they have like Bradley Beal and they have John Wall in Washington, they have some other guys, there are some shots to be had there, and there were times that team needed some other people to score and put up some shots. So he might have somewhat of opportunity to get in that 8 to 10 points a game. You know, I don't know, 1-2-3rd pick. You know, I don't know if I'd be paying a whole lot of money for his cards, and I don't expect people to probably be doing that. But could be some value later on in his career. If he can develop with John Wall and the other guard that they have there, could be a good fit for Washington there at the third pick. The fourth pick, you know, I don't know what Charlotte signed Al Jefferson, so that's good. They have some other pieces like Kemba Walker. They have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. But the what Charlotte lacks the most out of everything is coaching leadership and on-court leadership, which is usually go hand in hand. They have a total lack. The coach just stands over on the sidelines like he's a statue and looks like he has no control over the team. And when you watch the Bobcats, yeah, they look like a team that's not being coached and not running plays and have no structure. Well, they drafted Cody Zeller. I think they have a new coach now at Charlotte, so we'll see how well that stiff does. Drafted Cody Zeller, who, if the last name sounds familiar, he's the brother of NBAer Tyler Zeller, who was drafted last year or the year before. This guy's out of Indiana. Actually has sneaky athleticism for a tall white kid, and I say that with all sincerity. He has he needs to work on scoring in traffic, though. He can dunk in the open court and stuff like that, but in the NBA, you got guys real tall centers. You got Marcin Gortat and even Dwight Howard can block a shot every once in a while. So he needs to work on that. But he should get some playing time, and he should have some opportunities to rebound because there's tons of bricks that the Bobcats throw up. So hopefully Charlotte can mix him in. You know, Charlotte needed to get bigger on the front line. They were having trouble stopping teams going to the hole against them. They need to become more of a defensive team because when you have a Kemba Walker and a Kidd Gilchrist, two guys that shoot a little bit, but don't really, shoot for a high percentage. So hopefully they can get some rebounds and maybe work the inside out game. Get those guys. Those guys would shoot a high percentage if they could have an open shot. But, you know, there's no reason to double team or even sag off on those guys when they had no inside presence last year in Charlotte. So might be a good fit for everybody there. But I certainly don't see the fourth pick putting up a whole lot. You know, when I say a whole lot of points, I'm talking about 15, over 13 to 15 a game for a rookie, I think is quite a few points. So far, I don't see anybody probably, but with injuries, Anthony Bennett could probably do it out of the top four. I don't know Otto Porter Jr.'s game that much, but I think he needs somebody to help pass him the ball a little bit. And someone like John Wall will need to stay healthy for him to do that. Phoenix, a team that I don't know what this team is doing. They need outside shooters, and they keep getting these like big, stiff, big guys. They have Gortat and Skoll. I don't know if one of them might be a free agent or both. Who knows? Maybe this is a really good pick if that is the case, or they're looking to trade him. But they have Alex Len from Maryland, L-E-N. And he was in a walking boot, I guess, like the day before the draft, apparently. He had a stress fracture in his ankle. This is a guy, still a project guy, though. And so you're drafting, you know, at the fifth pick here or so, you're already drafting a project big that is certainly not going to average a whole lot of points and might not even get a whole lot of playing time. You know, this team, I thought, needed a playmaker, a scorer. You know, someone like, we'll talk about what Sacramento drafted, or the Pistons, or some of these other teams, or maybe even New Orleans. They could have even used New Orleans Noel. If they're going to draft a guy like this, who they're Alex Len, honestly, is not going to, I mean, if he plays, yeah, but I don't see him making a huge impact on the game. So I was really surprised with that pick. They must have really liked something there. Who knows? I don't know what Phoenix is doing, but tough. It's going to be another tough year, I think, in Phoenix. Sacramento. No, skipping a pick. We're going to go to New Orleans. They drafted Nerlens Noel. Lots of guys thought this guy was number one, but like I said earlier, you know, this guy, yeah, he's a good athlete, blah, 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 but you don't draft, you know, Serge Ibaka number one, really. You know, guys got to have some hope on the offensive game. I didn't see a whole lot in the tape that I saw of this guy. I thought New Orleans made an unbelievable trade here. They sent him to the Sixers for Drew Holiday. And that at the time, I thought it was really a good trade because that was before they had signed Tyreke Evans. And so maybe it's not the best trade, but in terms of injecting some talent in your lineup, you know, going from a Nerlens Noel guy who, you know, wouldn't have done a whole lot for New Orleans, probably the whole season, because yeah, he's going to come back, he's going to say he's healthy, but a team is going to work this guy in gently. He's not going to come back and play 32 minutes, you know, his second game, third game, fourth game back. That's just not how it's going to work. He's probably only going to get sub 20, 25 minutes at the most, probably his first month in the season. So we're looking into January, February at the earliest until we see this guy really play solid playing time, maybe. And so, you know, you get a Drew Holiday for that. So you know, I don't know what the Sixers were thinking. They already dealt with like a knee injury last year with Bynum and got ripped off there. So I think they got ripped off again. So sorry, Sixers fans, but, you know, New Orleans made what I think is a really good trade there. I don't think, not to hate on Nerlens Noel, he might end up being a really, really good player, block shots, and maybe be a scorer, be a Marcus Camby type guy at some point in his career. But, you know, right now, you know, so a lot of these teams need to start churning. A lot of these teams have been bad for a while, and you don't got time to wait 4 or 5 years to see if a guy can learn how to shoot. Sacramento certainly don't have to wait for Ben McLemore to learn how to shoot. And at the time when Sacramento picked this guy, I was like, what is Sacramento thinking? I was like, why are they drafting Ben McLemore, basically like Tyreke Evans' little brother? But Tyreke ends up moving on, and obviously Sacramento must have known that or had an inkling that that was going to happen. Sacramento also made a quick offer to like Andre Iguodala and then took it off the table, which I think was a really good decision on their part. They don't need to lock in guys like that. They don't need to go that route. They need to build through the draft and things of that nature and don't need to get in too deep financially on a certain player. But anyways, Ben McLemore, this guy has now the potential. I was worried when he was picked here. I was like, wow, this is the one guy that probably could, you know, average 13, 14, 15 points a game if he got the shots. He needs the shots. This is not a guy that on 8, 9, 10 shots is going to average that kind of point. So he needs to get, you know, 10, 15 shots. And it was going to be very tough with They have, like, Marcus Thornton, who sucks there. They have Jimmer Fredette, who's not an NBA player. But these guys shoot, you know, when they're in the game. And they have Dikas, who shoots a lot and gets a bad rap, but actually is a really good player. But now no Tyreek. So I think it opens up. That's like 10 shots a game, 15 shots a game, maybe right there in Ben McLemore's lap. So I like Sacramento. I think, you know, out of everybody that was picked here, I think fans will overpay for Nerlens Noel. But out of all of these guys, Anthony Bennett, I wouldn't mind getting one of his cards. Certainly, I wouldn't mind getting one of his cards for the long term because I think they have a lot of potential there in Cleveland. And if LeBron happens to come back, which is the rumor I've been hearing for like 12 months, it seems like, Anthony Bennett, LeBron, Kyrie Irving, maybe another guy. They might have to trade somebody. Anthony Bennett might even end up in Miami. Who knows? They might have to trade somebody like that to get LeBron. But, you know, if he ends up staying there, could win some championships, could elevate his game. I like Anthony Bennett in that sense. But in terms of just instant value, like kind of the mentality where we want to get the hot guy, I think Ben McLemore could be that hot guy next year. If he stays healthy, if he can get some shots, if the coaches and the Kings organization can just get D-Cuz to – I saw DeMarcus Cousins rein it in a little bit last year, just a little bit at times, to where I was like, wow, this guy could be like he's already, I think, a really good player. He plays really hard, plays too hard, too rough. Gets in foul trouble because of it. But if he can improve his attitude a little bit, the refs won't call it as much on him because he does play pretty hard. Anyways, I think Ben McLemore, really good fit. I think card-wise has a lot of potential next year. The Pistons, I thought, made another really good pick. You know, back-to-back here, you know, after Tyreek left, I think Sacramento made a great pick. The Pistons made a great pick here. They needed a score. They needed like a two guy. Because when Brandon Knight got dunked on by DeAndre Jordan last year, I was pretty sure he was in at like the two spot, and that's not the spot you want Brandon Knight playing. Brandon Knight should be a point guard, and by drafting 6'6" Kentavious Caldwell Pope, he's a shooting guard from Georgia who can shoot from range, NBA range. I think this was at the time was the best fit draft out of anybody. Probably in the whole draft, the Detroit Pistons, because they have Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe on the inside, so you don't need a stiff white center or a stiff big. They didn't need necessarily like a forward because I think they have another guy that's actually a pretty good fit there. They needed a shooting guard. This team was starting guys at shooting guard last year that should not be starting at shooting guard in the NBA and barely should be coming off the bench at shooting guard. And they were even playing Brandon Knight at shooting guard, and we saw how badly that ended up working out for him because he at shooting guard, you end up in the paint or you end up rotating on defense and you get dunked on. Whereas at point guard, you're staying at the top, you're not supposed to sag down as much, and that's where Brandon Knight should be on the defensive end. And he should not be, he's not a scorer. He's not really a distributor. Brandon Knight's, I wouldn't say is a great, great player, but he's solid. They put him with, and this team, I think with Knight, Drummond, Monroe, Caldwell Pope, and the other guy that they have there at forward, I think this is a solid team. Not a team that's going to, you know, contend for the championship, but a solid team that if they could gel a little bit and move that ball in and out, it could be a good team. I like what the Pistons are doing. There's somebody that's managing that team looks to me to know what they're doing. Minnesota, this is a team. Wow. This is a team. They have Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio. They have some other players like Pekovic, I think they have there. Some other players. They drafted they probably wanted Pope. This is what I think. Minnesota probably wanted Pope. Caldwell Pope, he got picked, so they ended up drafting Trey Burke from Michigan, and they traded him to Utah for two other first-round picks. And I think they did okay with those first-round picks. I don't think those guys are going to be starters day one or anything like that, but it added depth to Minnesota. I really like the pick, like the trade and pick for both teams because really Utah needs more of kind of, I don't, they need depth, but really they need a guy that can come in and maybe lead the team a little bit, maybe provide some on-court leadership. And I think Trey Burke can certainly do that. We obviously saw it during the NCAA championships. And Minnesota has some leaders. If they can stay healthy and stay on the court, they need a depth. And I think that's what they did by getting two first-round picks, essentially. So I like what they did. Last pick, number 10. Again, all these guys have exclusive deals with Panini, so you'll be able to, you know, there won't be that confusion. Maybe they'll have, like, some base cards and some other cards elsewhere, which I think is possible. But certainly with, like, Upper Deck and stuff like that, they might have, like, the NCAA stuff. But in terms of signatures, I believe you only find them in Panini products, at least for year one. And there were a handful of other guys outside of this top 10, but they did lock up the top 10. Portland needs just about everything but shooting guard and power forward, and they drafted C.J. McCollum, who was like this Damian Lillard clone. Everybody on ESPN, this is the funny thing, everybody on ESPN was like, oh, this guy could be Damian Lillard part two. Like, the thing you want to be careful about when these guys say that is these guys, for one, don't know what they're talking about, okay? It'd be hard to have a Damian Lillard part two again because, well, they already have Damian Lillard, who's going to take X amount of shots per game. And certainly in year two, he wants to elevate himself. And he's certainly going to take probably even more shots than he did last year. Well, you have also a guy on the inside named LaMarcus Aldridge, who, if you go look at his stats and look at his field goal percentage, is probably the guy the coach wants to be shooting more and more because his offensive game is tremendous and he shoots for a really high percentage from not necessarily that close to the basket. Often is shooting little mid-range jumpers and stuff like that and little side end jumpers, but shoots them at a very, very high clip, high clip. So those two guys are going to get a lot of shots. And so CJ better be ready to score a lot of points, either if those guys get hurt or just do it on a lot less shots because he's not going to get a whole lot. So I'd temper your excitement. I think I remember when the draft happened, everybody on ESPN, everybody was all excited about CJ McCollum. But the thing you want to know about CJ is he's going to be undersized at his position wherever they try to fit him in there in Portland. Or he'll certainly be coming off the bench, probably. And so he has very, in my opinion, unless there's injuries or unless he just is a tremendous player, has very little chance to be Damian Lillard part two, as they were trying to allude to on the major network. So I'd be careful there. But in terms of the two picks that I like the most, I think, and the guys that I think could come in and have a nice little impact right in the beginning are Ben McLemore and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Just on my feel and the way I think the teams are situated as they stand now. Now, obviously, lots could happen. We've got Dwight, and there's going to be other movements. I think nothing can happen until about the 10th officially. So you'll see even more, maybe even by the time you listen to it. Maybe I'll look like an idiot because some of these guys might be iced out on the depth chart by then. So we'll see what happens. But what I do know is, boy, we talk like 30 minutes, 40 minutes about basketball cards or in basketball in general. So sorry, we're a little light on the card content. I try to throw it in there when I can. But, you know, when there's no football season's not happening. You got more guys killing people than practicing. And you got no basketball, but you got lots of cool stuff happening on the off season with that. You know, you got baseball. You know, you guys know more. You guys know the baseball cards. You guys collect that stuff. So I don't need to sit here and tell you about it. So I hope you had fun. If you don't like the NBA, we'll try to come back next week or shortly with something. I'll come up with something that's not 30 minutes of the NBA for our next show. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll be back soon. We are out of here.